Hello and welcome to Edge Talk Radio. My name is Angela Zabel. That's me. Today we are going to be talking with Susanna and Perron Bear, and they have been starting, they are the founders of I Am Heart. They are authors. There is so much to unpack as we get to know them on a more personal basis today. They're from Arizona, and I can't wait to get into who they are. So, who am I? My name is Angela Zabel. I have been connected to spirit, working with the team in the non-physical my entire life, sharing messages from a multitude of realms with people. I am a teacher, coach, medium, radio show host, writer, retreat host, gallery reader, doing speaking engagements and offering guidance, mediumship, intuition with online, private, and group sessions, classes, and the Amplified Universe monthly membership. This is a group growing your connection to our world, all that is around us, and our role in it. Sharing knowledge and working with people around the world. You can find out more about me at angelazabel.com, pretty much on all the social media aspects out there. And today, we are here. I'm going to try to say, put this centered in here. We are here with Edge Magazine. Edge Magazine is a leading events and media resource dedicated to all aspects of holistic living, health, and wellness, and the mysteries beyond. Sharing information, wisdom, resources, and committed to promoting, sorry about that, promoting businesses, organizations, and individuals who support our collective journey to wholeness and balance. It's currently distributed in 30 states and Canada with over 17,000 magazines per printing. The vibrant online magazine with over 42,000 people reach per month online. Have the magazine shipped to your door. Stay up to date with the newsletter. Become a drop spot. And watch the Being Curious show with Kelly Wagner. Go to edgemagazine.net and find out more. And they're also on pretty much all the social media aspects. So today we are here with Susanna Bear and Perron Bear. They are co-founders of I Am Heart in Arizona. Today's guests, they are then also a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping people access emotional, physical and spiritual well-being through the transformative practice of heart rhythm meditation, or HRM. Together, they've spent decades developing and teaching this heart-centered approach, which synchronizes breath and heartbeat to co-create coherence in the body, mind, and spirit. They both studied intensively for over 4 decades and now represent, I'm hoping I pronounce this right, Sufi Master Pir Pervil.
Here.
Here, help me with this one.
Pir Vilayat
Got it. Thank you so much.
Inayat
Susanna is a pioneering teacher of heart-based meditation whose work draws from over 40 years of studying in psychology, the arts, and the Sufi mystical tradition. She holds a master's in counseling psychology with clinical expertise in the University of Vienna. Perron Bear brings a unique blend of science and spirituality to his work. With a background in mathematics and physics, he has developed practical techniques to make ancient wisdom both measurable and applicable in modern life. His work with heart rhythm meditation includes collaborations with researchers to study the psychological effects of breath and heart coherence. Together, they have taught thousands of students worldwide, created the Breath and Amp Heart app, which makes their accessible, life-enhancing practices available to people everywhere. And they have authored 4 books, including Living from the Heart and Energize Your Heart. Their shared mission to awaken the power of the heart, not just as a metaphor of love, but as a real source of vitality, insight, healing, and transformation. They also have a free gift today, so make sure to access their online meditation studio at iamheart.org gift, but also go to their main website, iamheart.org. There is so much information on there. I encourage everyone to start exploring the rest of their website. And you can also find them on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook. They have mobile apps, they have books, their schools and university. The I Am Heart is a nonprofit school to cultivating emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being, along with the meditations and so much more. There is so much here to unpack. They also have the Institute of Applied Meditation, provides instructions to the Heart Rhythm Meditation, and the University of the Heart, IMU, trains students to advance meditations in a 2-year program. There is so much here to uncover, and I just want to thank both of you, Susanna and Perrin. I want to thank you so much for being here because I feel, my own personal opinion, working with the heart is so important as we go forward. This is bringing the change to the world we're all looking for. And I've got to say, thank you again for being here. And I've got to ask, how in the world did you start concentrating on working with heart?
Wow, that's a long story, Angel. So my story is, we have different stories, how we came together and what our impetus was of it. As I mentioned to you earlier, that I studied at the University of Vienna and I studied clinical psychology, which I really, really enjoyed. I really was very interested in all the different departments that Vienna has and had to learn about mental illness, which way it expresses itself. It's if it is addiction or if it's connected directly to brain damages or children's psychology or real, the psychiatry as you find it out there. I went to studied in all different departments, and at my dissertation level, I saw where it would go if I take on this profession full-heartedly. And it would have been that I would have been a test psychologist, where psychiatrists prescribed them the medication according to the test that how people went through it. And I watched this over the years, in each department, and I was very depressed because I did this work in the early 70s, and I was very depressed about it, that that's the only help back then that was available in Vienna. And I would have worked in one of those mental institutions as a test psychology. And I pretty much said no at the dissertation level. I was into my dissertation and I gave up and I moved into theater. And
Oh,
that happened,
interesting.
that happened as out of really of this inner wish that I looked for something else. I was willing to do really something else, and I started off with street theater, going on the streets with a group of people, and we did theater, and I was picked up by a director, and he asked me to participate in a movie. Vienna is very small. I don't think this would have happened in New York City, where I was then
Probably
living.
not.
But maybe too, I don't know. But so I studied theater, and I was in the theater business for 10 years and worked at one point in Switzerland at the State Theater of Basel. And I did women's work by then. This is 10 years later, not exactly. And I did feminist theater. I worked only with women, and we did pretty well, or very well. But I knew always that theater was not my work. My work was inner work, spiritual work, and especially mental health. And with women, you can work very well. And we brought all these topics forth on the stage. But I wanted to go further and ended up in New York City. And in New York City by then, this was in the early 80s. Then I had a foreign language, a foreign culture, and had a really hard time finding theater work. I studied with Lee Strasberg and with Stella Adler, and went to auditions. And in the 80s, accents were like a none, not known. It was very hard for me to get work. And I sort of developed an illness, a cough. It works itself out on my life force. Which way will I get through? And so I met this opera singer, through the field, and I taught him German because he was singing the Heldentenor Wagnerian operas. And he said, he looked at me and he said, "You need a teacher." And I was like, I had a lot of teachers in my life. I don't think I need any more teachers. He said, "Well, you should try this one." And so I went with him and his wife to Boston, and it was a meditation teacher, Pivilayati Nayat Khan. And I went in the door, and Pivilayati was sitting down at Harvard University in a big hall. And I looked at him, and I had the feeling he was looking at me. And I got a severe coughing attack. Like,
Wow.
really, I blew up. And I knew that was a very intense sign. I left the room, and then I went back into the what is it called, to the lecture and meditation presentation. And I really calmed down in a very, very deep way. And then a couple of years later, I met Kuran Bea a few years later. And later on, he asked us, both of us, to create a school together. So that's the beginning of my path to find, because I had meditated before, meditation wasn't new to me. But what I have learned, when it really comes to challenging situations in life, you need to have a method, or you need to have a way to really access the inner realms where you find true guidance and true openings and how to meet the challenge in life. So that is what I learned, and I want to tell my further story together with Puran further. So I want to let him talk a little bit about his story.
And Puran, I just want to say, you two together are a force to be reckoned with. You two were definitely meant to be together because it is just like your ed. And so, those of you who don't know, I have a team in the non-physical, and they're just saying your energies together complement each other so beautifully to help bring that heart-centered energy out there. And I just want to say thank you. And together, just a beautiful, beautiful energy between the both of you. So thank you. And now I got to hear your story.
Well, I was I'm trained in computer science and physics and math and things like that, and it was interesting but not satisfying, to the one's whole being. I was going through a terrible period of depression and just unhappy with who I was. And so I met this same teacher that Susanna mentioned, Pir Vilayat. And when I met him, I had the feeling that he knew who I was. Well, that was really surprising to me because I didn't know who I was. This is one of the amazing things that one can do with intuition and guidance, that you can see a person and understand who they are or who they could be, who they already are really, that person isn't aware of. And so it was a tremendous help to me to be recognized and discovered and given a vision for who I am and who I will be. And that's what we try to do for people, is to look at them and say, "I know you." The first thing is, like, I'm like you. I know you, and because I have this feeling of similarity to you, with it could be anybody. We always feel that. I can share something with you about, where you are and where you're going and what you can become. So he did that for me. And but it's not just a vision is important to understand what's possible, but it takes more than a vision. It takes the power to transform. So then what he did for me was to teach practices, meditation practices. There are many different kinds. And you have to use, the right tool for the job. And these practices with energy, they transform a person. And so that's what we do too. We have a toolbox of 200 different meditations drawn from Egypt, from India, from Asia, and also Western practices from Christianity and Judaism and Islam, where we have a very wide scope. And with all these different ways of meditating, we can bring out different parts of the person, according to what's next, you know.
I love that part of it. And when you had talked about having tools there for people as they move through this, because we are all different. We all have different challenges. We are all different on the inside. Our hearts, our souls are all a little different. For you to have that toolbox of over 200 different meditations, because some meditations resonate with some people and other ones don't. And so many times it's just a few meditations, and you try a few, and it's like, oh, that's not really it. But with both of you, you've created a toolbox, and they're showing. So I do have people in my family that are mechanics, and they bring up the craftsman toolbox. I just see the craftsman toolbox coming up, and what they're saying is, it's so good for you to have all of that for so many people. Because this time in our world, in our history, is a time of so many people awakening, and they're all so
Yes.
very different.
Yes.
You two started out on your journey so much earlier. You did so much of the groundwork for everyone. I'm so impressed with you. How
Well,
did you come up with so many of the meditations?
I'm 80 at this point. You know, I've been meditating for 53 years,
Wow.
and eventually it sinks in. You know,
I
it takes a while.
that. And I've got to say, both of you don't look your age at all. And that's one of the things with my team in the non-physical has said, one of the benefits from working on yourself, working on your soul, is you don't age like other people do, because you are slowing down those beliefs and changing, transforming, as you said, in so many different levels. And that's because of so much of the work you've done. So, did you meet each other at the meditations?
Yes. Yes, Angela. We actually met in France at a big meditation retreat which our teacher was holding. And this was a big privilege for us to both be there at the same time. And yeah, there we learned a lot. You know, our teacher had this very exquisite thing. It was like a tent city up in the high mountains. You know, it was in Chateau Queyras, and it's like thousands of miles up there. And he had sometimes the idea, you know, to say, okay, so tomorrow morning we meet up there at 3 o'clock in the morning, up there at this point, you know, and he pointed like this. And amazingly, we all met at this place. We were in the evening, we nobody knew where it would be. And it was very far out meditation, you know. He had this kind of saying to try to experience that what we are meant to experience, you know, is a real expression of that it's actually covered, you know, it's covered for us, but we can access it through meditation to see what is meant to be that we know. So that's where his big, and another of his sayings was to reconcile the irreconcilables, which is a very interesting concept. You know, things where you think they could never be together, they could never be unified, to bring those things together in our lives. So these are the shoulders that we are riding on, you know, one of them. Oh, we had to actually find how to do the meditation very much on our own. Our teacher was a very far out teacher. And we both personally found that the method that is needed in today's day and age is very much the heart. And
Yes.
those teachings are actually known through our teacher and his father. And they are on some level much easier to do than all this mindfulness meditation, you know, because with the mind, you have very little control. because the mind just tends to wander, even if you try to focus it. And in Hatha Rasa meditation, it isn't that you don't need a mind. You need very much to use your mind. But if you breathe slowly, full and deep in Hatha Rasa meditation, and you try to focus on your heart, you need a very strong mind to find these connections. First of all, to figure out, where is my heart? Do I have a heartbeat? Do I have the pulse, the lub-dub? You know, that is a real skill to find that. And a lot of people, you know, you say, can you feel your heartbeat? Oh, no way. While children, little children, till the age of six, they all feel their heartbeat. So this is something already that reveals to us what our culture, what our society and our educational system does to us. You know, it helps us very, very strongly to forget our heart, you know, that place that is connected to the physical, to the mental, to the emotional, and to the spirit. That is like the magic of the heart. And we really can go into details about it on how that works and you know, there how those meditations, and that's why there are so many meditations, because the signature of Hatha Rasa meditation, the beginning of it, is that when you really listen to your heart, you deal with emotions.
Yes.
And you can say, when you sit in a room with 500 people and say, raise your hand if you're interested in working with emotions. Not many people raise their hands.
That's kind of scary for a lot of people.
And that's what we do. We do scary work that we make people comfortable with. So
Yes.
that is our work for beginners, really. We get a lot of people on that step in where they say, I'm tired of the mind. I'm tired of certain meditations that just bliss are just bliss and all those kinds of things, which there's nothing wrong with bliss, doesn't understand me. But they would like to just recently in an interview, somebody said to me, I would really just like to change. I would like to become that who I am. Like, okay, let's get
And
started.
that's very, very important, because more and more people, as those in the spiritual realm or anything like that, they talk at it. It's called waking up. Waking up, I feel, is just understanding I'm more than human. That's what it is. It's kind of tapping into more than human. And there's so many people waking up to that understanding. I need a change. I need to know who I am. It's the questions of who am I? What am I doing here? And what you're doing, what you both, Susanna and Perron, is you are helping so many people to connect into who they are with the heart. And I love, love, love that you're working with the heart, because I love to tell people is when you connect with your heart, you receive so many more messages than you ever will with your mind, because you're feeling it, you're feeling those emotions. And that's something both of you have been teaching people for so very long. And I can't wait to understand. I know people are wondering, how did you put the program together? How did you put your meditations together? How did you create the I am heart? How did that creation come? Because you were doing meditations, you were doing the connections, and then you met each other. But I mean, having a relationship and creating a whole new way of meditation, a transformation, that's a whole different ball game. And especially you, Perron, I am impressed because you had that mathematical eye mind, that analytical mind. And a lot of guys do, and a lot of women are doing the same thing. They want to know the specifics. They want to get to know how it works. How is it created? And that's something that's important. So for me, for people to say, here's how it is, here's the benefits, here's what happens, to get the behind the scenes on it, that's something that's important for people to know, especially people waking up wanting to go, okay, what's the benefits? How do I know it's the benefits? So how did that journey start for both of you to go, okay, let's do this together and start creating the I am heart and new meditations? How did that start?
Yeah, it's I must say, by the way, it's a It's a wonderful challenge to lead a school together. And I think we might be the only school that works as a, with a married couple working together, with an authentic lineage. I mean, we're not making this stuff up, we're using what's been learned for thousands of years, but we get to tune it and optimize it, and because we use instruments, we use tools, we use medicine, we use science, So as an example is that I was working with a doctor, Herbert Benson, and he's written a book on meditation because he thinks he understands meditation from a doctor's point of view. He was interested in what happens to the body when you meditate. And so he was interviewing and researching me. And he was especially interested in stress. Of course, it's a big deal, stress, and everybody has it. And see, in the old methods of meditation, what you tried to do was get out of the stress by going to a place where there isn't any. And there is such a place, but it's a non-physical place. And if you're in your body, you're gonna experience stress. But he was wondering, isn't there anything we could do with meditation to reduce the stress? So he had an interesting experiment. He said, you know what happens? People go to work, they get stressed out, they come home and they're still stressed, and they argue with their wife and they kick the dog because they can't get out of that stress. And the stress is actually measurable in a hormone called adrenaline. So you can measure how much stress the person's in. So he said, okay, Brian, let's put you under stress, and then we'll see if you can meditate your way out of it. And so in one arm he's got an IV where he's taking a blood sample every minute, and he's going to analyze this later for the adrenaline level. But in my other arm, he needed to induce stress. So how do you induce stress? Well, the same thing isn't stressful for everybody, but physically, there is one thing you can always use to create stress, and that is you put your arm in ice. So he had a big ice bucket. He put my arm up to my shoulder in ice, which instantaneously creates intense pain. And then the body goes into panic. It goes into a stress response.
Got it.
That was the idea, was that it's like simulating what happens to people at work, So now you're in stress, and then now see if you can meditate out of it. So I have my arm in this, and I'm meditating with my heart, see? And I looked over at my arm, which was covered now in ice, and I thought, that ice is doomed. And I
Love
thought, what an odd way to think, because it just spontaneously hit me. But then I realized, like, there's two things happening. The ice is trying to freeze my arm and cause my body to go into panic, and my arm is trying to melt the ice. So who's going to win? And normally, when people do the usual kind of meditation, they're withdrawing, and so the ice wins. But the body will do a very interesting thing. When the arm is freezing like that in pain, the body will cut off circulation to the arm to save the rest of the body.
Yes.
And when you pull the arm out of the ice, it's white because it has no blood in it. So what was happening to me was the opposite. My heart was saying, "Let's go, let's deal with this," and it was increasing the circulation in my arm. And my arm was getting hot. And so I didn't actually feel pain. And I was perplexed by this, like, this is supposed to be very painful, right? He says, I know, we only do this for a minute because we can't have screaming in the hospital. This is all in a hospital in Boston.
Yeah, that's
But
probably not good for here for other people.
yeah, but I wasn't having any pain. And I thought, this is very strange. So the adrenaline level never went up, so it didn't have to come down. So this is our solution to stress, is instead of trying to get yourself out of stress, which is impossible,
Right.
Increase the ability of the body to handle stress by using your heart. Your heart will increase the circulation. It'll increase this sense of power and confidence and courage, which is going to just come out in everything you do. It takes away the fear, and that takes away the stress. And then your body isn't in stress. And then you can make better decisions because, the decisions you make out of fear and stress, they're not good decisions. You have to use, it's not using your heart. Your heart has a different wisdom. It knows things are possible, but that's what we do.
And Angela, we use this in heart rhythm meditation in very simple ways, because when you do this breathing practice of breathing really slow, full and deep, and your abdominal muscles are involved and you really are in your body, and then you're connecting with your heart, and the heart gets all this energy over time, So over time, when you do these practices, the emotions show themselves. And instead of disconnecting from the emotions and pretend, you don't exist, no, we're moving into the emotion, just like how Puran described, we move into the ice, and say, here I am, and with a full heart moving into that, what's in our heart that we have very well packed away so that we don't have to deal with it. We let it come up and use the breath, bring energy, because if in the breath we have not only oxygen, but energy in there, and bring that energy right into these old memories that hold woundedness and trauma and transform. Let the heart heal its own wounds. And that is really, it works magically over time. So this is really an applied meditation of that scientific experience that Ron had in this with this doctor, Dr. Benson. Yeah.
I love that. It's so important, I think, with people's stress. Like you said, it's stress is going to be there. You can't run away from it. I think we've been taught to run away from it. And as in a human body, our first response, you got to fight or you got to flight, one or the other.
Right.
That's a human response. It's to save you, one
Yeah.
or the other. And I love how you're taking people into that heart space, going into the heart, going into the emotion, because that's really where the healing is. The healing comes with not being afraid the next time you get stressed. Fear is rampant. I'm sure you both here connect with people that are so very fearful, where their fear and anxiety is so prevalent right now in the world. And as you've been working with the fear, anxiety. Have you seen, my team is backing me up and they want to ask, have you seen a difference in the types of people or the amount of fear compared to before when you started this till now? Is there a difference in the amount of fear, the amount of stress? Has it been kind of consistent or is it getting more than what it was before?
It is much more, Angela, and I
Yeah.
think probably everybody that you interview will agree with that. It is unbelievable how over the past 20 years we have observed that. In the 90s, it was not that strong. One could teach, but in the 90s, meditation was not as well known. Now
Yeah.
meditation is quite well known, and the meditations that are out there don't actually deal very much with fear, anxiety, and emotions. And what we have learned is through getting to know the breath and getting to know the heart and getting to know the connection of breath and heart, because you're creating an energy field, and the energy field that the heart creates is electromagnetic energy. And that energy field is infinite. It reaches far, far out. And what we learned in our school, because we are an international school that teaches, we have students of 50 countries in the world, and people can connect with each other. And when that heart field is being expanded throughout the world, and people have the feeling, I'm connecting. When we teach a class, the classes are not always very big, but 50, 60, 80 people, and they're from all different places, and we meditate, and people literally feel the connections of their heart. That helps to lessen the anxiety and the fears. People are afraid of about just anything or everything. It's really, really unreal. But all that lessens when people start practicing in a deep and consistent way. That's the best way we can say. But it is, you know, I mean, the ways, I mean, we can talk about this. The news is just very poisonous these days, you know, and very irrational. You can listen to different news channels, and they give, how do you say, oppositional meanings and oppositional truths or realities, and you're like, what is real? And so you really need an internal navigator, what you trust and how you navigate this kind of outer environment. You actually being pushed inside of yourself into your heart and soul to really connect deeply. That's our experience, and that's what we try to do with as many people as we can get our hands on.
No, and that's,
I want to
go
comment
ahead.
On that idea too, that the stress is increasing. See, I think we have to, it's helpful, I think, to recognize that stress is a growth stimulant.
Yes.
And if we didn't have stress, we wouldn't be forced, you know, to examine new things and find new parts of ourselves. And there's a global awakening happening now. There's a transformation in the human being that's happening. So the stress is there to help us, really. It pushes us on. Now, it can be a killer, you know, we can die from stress, but we can also waken up from stress. And so our job as human beings is to learn how to use that energy of challenge. It's a challenge. And respond to the challenge with growth rather than to, you know, run away from it with fear. That's not growth. That isn't going to change anything. We want change, you know, and change in a way that makes us bigger and more whole.
I love that. And I love the fact where you said it's growth. Stress is growth. When you start getting excited about what's the next stressor that may come up, because I know it's going to help me grow and tap into my heart more than ever before, you get excited about what's next, even though you don't know what it's going to be, even though you don't know all the answers. But you know, and I keep hearing from my team, people that work with you, they know they can get through the stress, and they know they can achieve happiness. And I just feel calm and freedom from the fear. They can receive that freedom from the fear. And my team is just saying so many people who work with both of you have that, they're releasing that freedom from fear, which is creating just this beautiful energy worldwide. And that's because of both of you. And that's something so important for people to look at, being excited about what stress is coming next, because you can move through the stress very, very quickly with the methods you've come up with. People are able to handle it because of you. People are able to look at it and go, okay, this is happening. How do I move through it? How do I go into my heart? How do I examine the emotions? You've given such a clear energetic path for people to help them navigate it. And that's the key. My team is going, you're not just doing lip service. You're showing people how to do it. And that's something you're doing with the schools. Can you go into the schools a little bit? What do you do with it? And you have more than one school going on all at the same time.
Well, one of the things that we do, you know, people who really feel the energy of the heart and feel what it can do for them, you know, how they change, how they become much more fearless and confident and courageous. They study in the school for some time, and we offer people different kinds of applications in the school. They become our teachers. We have a whole cadre of teachers that teach in our school in the IMU. They teach the courses by themselves. You know, we have the curriculum put together. We have videos available for the courses, but they are teaching them. Like the studio that we have running, there are seven teachers there, and every day is a different kind of topic there with a different teacher. And the IMU is, we have about 30 teachers available that teach in the IMU. And then a further path is that we have mentors. We have about 50 mentors that are available in the school, because what we have learned when we started teaching seminars, retreats, group retreats, that people asked us, so, Susanna, what kind of practice should we do? And yes, then Quran came in and said this and this. And then we learned Quran and Susanna are not enough. And we have in each course, every student gets every month one free mentoring session. So when you are, like we just finished a 16-month program, you get every month your mentoring session that is part of the program. And in the IMU, so most of the students are for 20 years in the school, and they have every month their mentoring session. They have their mentor. If you want to, you can switch your mentor. But a lot of them stay for a long time because we travel a path that is very, very well mapped. You know, this is not something we made up, and we can show you what that looks like. And so between the teachings, you know, where we have the teachers that we developed, and then the mentors, where you have monthly mentoring sessions, but then we have also personal retreats, not just group retreats. The group retreats, Puran and I teach always with some mentors and teachers, but the personal retreat, you actually would come to the retreat guide's home. And you were really, really well taken care of. You meditate about from 5 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning, till 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, with breaks in there for sunrise and sunset, and you get your food served. But you meditate lots of hours, all different practices, and you really, really transform on a deep level. So these are the kind of steps that people go through, you know, and when you become a teacher, a mentor, or a retreat guide, you're really deeply on the path, and you have transformed yourself a lot, and you help others to transform. So, and maybe, Brian, you would like to share more about what that path looks like. Would that be okay, Angela?
Absolutely. And this is, absolutely, I'm waiting.
You want to click that button over there.
That button here, yes. This one.
So this is a familiar picture to some people. It's the 11 ring labyrinth, which is in the floor of the Chartres Cathedral. It's actually an old Druid symbol, and it is more than a symbol. It is actually a description of the spiritual path, and. We have it broken up here into different sections of the path with different colors. And those little numbers on there represent the 9 milestones on the path. These are steps in the spiritual progress. So when you have a school, you know, you need a way to assess progress. And like if you were running a martial arts school, you'd have different color belts or something, you know. Well, we're looking for external signs, we're looking for internal signs, and we've identified 9 of them. This is very old science. This is something that comes out of mystics from thousands of years ago. So a lot of people are familiar with the idea of the labyrinth, but they don't have the numbers on them. You know, these numbers are very important because you want to know, where am I in the path? And that's important because the things that you need to do change at each step. It's not the same process all the way through. It's like, you know, for children, as a metaphor, as an example, children uniformly, they learn how to walk before they speak. And So there are stages of childhood development that have been very well mapped, you know, by psychologists. While the stages of adult development have been mapped by the mystics. And in every culture there are these maps, and they actually correspond. In Zen, for instance, there's a map of 10 steps representing, as it's told as a story of a young man finding a bull and then riding the bull and taming the bull and using the bull. The bull is the internal power of the heart. So they're in different traditions, there are different ways of expressing the map, but there's always basically the same map. This has been discovered a long time ago. Now, so our challenge in the school is, first of all, to identify where are you in the map? And knowing that, we can say what you need to work on next. So in some places in the map, you need to work on your sensitivity, like opening up, you know, like not being so closed and so defensive, and right? So opening the heart to the beauty and harmony of life. But at other places, you need to find this inner power that it takes to change yourself. And you know, our school uses the idea of energy, emphasizing energy more than consciousness. In the Buddhist methods, the focus is on consciousness. But that's very valuable, of course, but to change, you need energy to make the change, and then energy changes the consciousness. So we have to identify where a person is on the path, and then prescribe the kind of energy work that they need to do at that point to get to the next point in the path. There's always another point. There's always
Yes.
further.
I love the fact that they use the labyrinth. So I didn't realize they had all the numbers in the labyrinth, and I'm like, oh, that's why I was when you showed it to me before we started. You're like, can we use this? I'm like, absolutely, because I didn't know about the numbers in the labyrinth. I didn't know about seeing where you are and really paying attention to where you are, and the energy, like you said, concentrating on the energy part, because that can be registered. You can, there's palpable exercises. There's way, just like you said, with the
Yeah, you
stress,
can measure it.
you
You
can
can measure
measure.
energy. Yeah.
That's something so key going forward.
Yeah.
So when you start with people, do you kind of go through a where are you map, like
Yeah.
filling out a form? What do you feel about this? What do you feel about this?
No,
What?
no, no. Because people learn how to fake it, you know,
Oh,
but it's
yes.
not real. In order to find out where you really are, you need to go inside. Now, the energy state that a person is in is not just internal, it's also coming out through their field, you know. So
Yes.
you can feel something we call an atmosphere. There's an atmosphere around every person, which is their own heart creating this field of energy, which reaches other people's hearts. So you can One heart responds to the other heart. And so we respond to each other, of course, all the time. It's just we have to, you know, if we learn how to do that, we get a tremendous amount of information and understanding. So we meditate with people and feel what they feel like in ourselves. It's like taking your experience of yourself and bringing it into me, experiencing me as you. Now, I'm not guessing about you, I'm not projecting you, I'm not using my ideas. I'm feeling what you are like because I can feel it in myself. I feel like you, see? And I examine me, which is now you, and then I can understand, you know, oh, this is that step, you know. That's
I
how we
love
do it.
that.
It's not guessing. It's not like trying to figure it out. It's by direct experience.
See, Angela, and certain steps on the path cannot be taught through practices. I mean, here, this is a great practice, but this practice is in our school most applied when you are a mentor. You see, as a mentor, you have to use this practice continuously because you go into a session with your mentee and you say, well, how are you? How are things going for you? And they tell you all kinds of things, how their lives go. But what you do is you tune into them unconsciously or consciously, but they don't know. And you assess, have they moved or are they in the same place? Do you see? Or teaching is another one of those practices. In teaching, you learn really transmission, what you talk about with your invisible team. Most people are not trained. You have this naturally going for you. I mean, you're a very blessed person, who has it from childhood on. And there are people like that, and hopefully there are more and more. But
Yes.
a lot of people have to learn it. And the way how you learn this transmission to open yourself up to the invisible world, that you start teaching. And when you teach, as much as you have learned what you want to teach, at some point you need to give up your mind and open up. And that opening up is the transmission that happens. And then after somebody has taught a class, they say, I said all these wonderful things. Not all, because some things they really know through their mind, but some things they're like, it was a real surprise what I taught there. I wished I would have written it down right away. Do you see? And that's transmission happening. So this is where we say, well, if you want to go further on the path, please start teaching. And it's not because of us teach, no, because you will learn something that we cannot teach you in any other way.
I love that. That's so very important for people to realize. Everyone has a unique talent, a unique take on life, a unique connection to those in the unseen. I've got to say, so we were talking about our teams before we got on here, and with Susanna and Peron, you both have been connecting to that's unseen. But I want to ask you, what do you two call your team?
Well, they're unseen beings, so we call them UBs.
I love
Unseen ones, the unseen beings.
to make it fun and easy and just one of the things I've learned with my team, they have an amazing sense of humor. They have so much joy. They are filled with love. And the more you play with them and have fun with them, that is so important. And I've got to say, I encourage everyone. Tap into your UBs.
Yeah, reach through your heart and feel your UBs.
We're not alone. None of us are doing this trip
Yes.
by ourselves. We have lots and lots of help, and usually we think of it as intuition or serendipity or synchronicity. These are just other words for it. These are the unseen ones that are helping us all the time. We couldn't do it without them.
Absolutely. And I love that, how you share with people, because so many people, I've met so many people, and I'm sure you have too, where they don't feel like they can connect to the other side. They don't feel they're connecting to anything. They feel they're doing this life on their own. And with you helping people
Hard work that way.
recognize, oh, absolutely. And it's not as fun when you know you've got a team with you, the UBs. I think that is so cool. So when people come to you but and they don't know, like, okay, I'm new to all this. I don't know what to do. I've just discovered I have UBs. And I don't think I can meditate for hours and hours and hours on end. How do you help people with the meditation with and like you talked about, you have over 200 ways of connecting and doing different meditations. How do you approach or help someone who feels like I can't sit still, I can't do a meditation in order to connect to their heart? How do you help with that?
Yeah, it's a, there. There's lots of sort of common, well-known problems in trying to do something like meditation. Meditation is a very special skill. We think it's a skill that everybody should develop. And Susanna's been teaching people from early age to late age, nursing homes to kindergartens.
Love it.
It's something for everybody, really, but it's hard to learn because there are certain predictable problems. And one problem is, as you say, well, it's hard to sit still. It's hard to hold. How do you hold your mind still? Well, the mystics long ago discovered the solution to holding your mind still, which is, it's expressed this way: you never have to remind the lover to think of the beloved.
Love that.
The mind is easily captured by emotion, by love. When you love something, you think about it all the time. So if you love your career, you can get totally into it and you don't worry about I'm losing concentration. It doesn't occur because you can't get enough of it. And when you're in love with a person, you want to be with them, you want to think about them, you want to talk to them, and you don't lose your attention, So we always use love in our meditation. And we want people to think about something very specific, which is their heart. Now, that's helpful because the heart gives you a signal that you're on it. If you really find your heart, you feel the heartbeat. And in order to feel the heartbeat, to help you, it's very useful to think, I love my heart. I love my heart. Sometimes people are afraid of their hearts. Like if I tune into my heart, what if it stops? Well, no, your heart is there for you your whole life long, and you want to love your heart, and then it's easier. It responds and it gives you its beat.
See, like last year, we used to go through to a lot of conferences, but last year I went to a conference again, and we went with three other of our teachers and healing people, and we had a booth too, and I was at the booth with them. And so people come and say, "So I am heart. What is this? I am heart." So as if it wouldn't be obvious, but it obviously wasn't obvious. So I said, "Well, it's a meditation school." And they said, "A meditation school? That's the last what I expected." I said, "Why?" They said, "Meditation is so hard to do. I tried it 100 times. I can't sit still," just like what you said. I said to her, "Can you feel your heartbeat?" She said, "Oh yeah, that's a no-brainer." I was at a holistic nurses conference, and nurses, they feel their heartbeat. It's unbelievable. It's because it's not a common thing. I said, "Well, if you have 5 minutes, I can teach you heart rhythm meditation in 5 minutes, if you can feel your heartbeat." And they said, "Really?" I said, "There are two chairs. Let's sit down and I teach you." And I really, because they could feel their heartbeat, they put their hand on their heart and they were breathing. And all of a sudden they said, "Wow." And because you really have to focus, in order to feel that heart, they sat still mesmerized. And they came the next day and said, "I want to have all your books. I can meditate now." So it was so unbelievable, how easy it is if you have something to focus on. Most of meditations don't give you an anchor. Heart rhythm meditation gives you an anchor. And I had three other women with me, because this is the other thing that we teach people or give people as a gift. We do healing sessions. And here we have the heart. And when you let the energy flow, you have these two arms where energy comes out of your palms. And we do this kind of healing where you start feeling the energy between your palms, and there's a tingling, a prickling going on. And when you use that energy and you bring it to somebody, and maybe you can feel this energy even right now, because it flows quite strongly out of my palms. And we have this method when a person lays down on a massage table, and we, in very systematic ways, put our hands on them in a pattern on all the energy centers of them. And we connect, the energy comes always right from our heart, and our UBs are all around us. And the UBs in the person starting to awake, all of a sudden their heart is moving, and the different chakras come to life, or the different chakras that are not alive will start speaking. "Hey, I want more attention. I want more energy. I want more light. I want more love." And the energy flows, and you heal people. as much as you get in one session, but there's a lot of movement through this kind of healing. And we brought this too in as part of the work of the heart, because we wanted to really move the energies and help people move out of fear, anxiety, and out of the trauma states that all exist, to be really awakened in the here and now. So that's heart energy healing.
I love it. I love it. And it is moving out of stress, pain, anxiety, fear, fear, fear. It's just so huge. And I encourage people who were watching this or listening to this, go back to the point where Susanna was talking about the energy and putting the energy within her hand and having it so you can feel it. Go back to that point, because you will feel the energy. Trust yourself, trust your heart with what you're feeling and experiencing, because Susanna and Pran are sending out heart energy to all of you throughout this whole interview. This heart energy has been going out to all of you. So take some time to tap into your heart, to feel from them and from the UBs that energy flowing to you, because it is absolutely beautiful. And as you've been doing this, you have where people can go on to the online meditation studio. What does that entail?
Well, we have, of course, recorded meditations, but the studio is live. It's virtual through Zoom, but it's a live teacher. They're there with you when you're there. So you have to then appear at the same time, of course. And those are also recorded, so you can watch it later. But to be there live with a teacher is a really special thing. It's unusual, because so many people record their meditations and all you get is a recording. But this is an opportunity where you can actually be with a person and meditate as they're meditating. And then you get to feel that energy. And then you get to ask questions, you know, so that's really nice. But the recordings that we do are on our app. We have an app for the iPhone and the Android. And the app is called Breath and Heart. And it has hundreds of meditations in it. Mm-hmm. One can learn a lot just by, and it's free. There's a paid piece, some of the advanced practices, but mostly it's free. And you can learn this method that way very easily. It's also, of course, through the books. Now, the books give a different kind of version of it, because it's more intellectual. It's explaining the details more. We have our third book is called Follow Your Heart. And that's the book where we explain the labyrinth and the path of spiritual progress. What it means to be progressed, you know, to be more mature in the spiritual path. What does that mean? And briefly, what it means is going from the mind to the heart, to the one heart. So there's three big steps: your mind, your heart, and the heart of all, the one heart. And to experience these things, not only as an experience like, oh, I just had this, but to feel, to identify that, like most people would say, I am my mind, you know, and my heart is in me like an organ, but, you know, I can think about it. But in the next stage, you don't think my heart is in me. You think I am in my heart. The I is smaller than the heart. The heart is bigger. And here you're discovering not just the physical heart organ, but the heart field, which the heart organ creates. It's an electromagnetic field, and it fills the room. Mm-hmm. It fills whatever room you're in, and it fills goes beyond the room, because it doesn't have any edge.
Yeah.
So imagine now, you know, we're so used to thinking of ourselves as finite, with and our skin is our edge.
Yes.
But if you experience yourself as a magnetic field, you don't have an edge, and there's no limit. You know, and so we overlap, right? We are in each other's hearts. We're in each other.
And thereby, you know, thereby we actually think they sort of hinted towards that earlier, you know, because the magnetic field doesn't have an edge. And when you connect people with each other, you feel like we are one being or we are one family. And that is actually the future consciousness or awareness of what humanity is. And all these wars and traumas that we create currently, they just come from the Middle Ages or the, I don't know what ages, but a very ancient knowledge that we are too poor, that we don't have enough food, that we don't have enough clothes, that we don't have enough, that we have to fight. That's a very, very limited belief system into poverty consciousness, and one has to control the whole. It's just all big nonsense in reality. You know, in the reality of the invisible world and of the planetary consciousness, that's all just very limited consciousness. And that's what we need to awaken to, that we are one family that is held together in the consciousness of the one, of the whole. And there's a lot of changes that we need to go through individually. But when that opens up, you know, the fear, you just look around and, you know, you see how can I help this whole system of limited consciousness, of limited heartfulness, you know, that the heart is just too little, too small. It might feel in the beginning that like that, when you just feel your pain and your past. But when you clear yourself with love and light and open more and more, and energy flows into you, and you feel the support and the protection and the guidance on what you have to do here in life, that you have a purpose. Hey, the world is your oyster.
I love that. Love that. You know, and that's so true. We've been in this limiting belief for far, far too long. My
Oh.
team is saying far, far too long. It's time to step out of it. It's time to enjoy the fruits of our labors, as you've say so many times. And it's time to realize we are all making a difference by using our hearts, by putting that out there. And you and I, we were all kind of talking before we got on about how different areas of the world feel different also. And that's something I have experienced in even different cities, different towns, different areas of the wherever you're at, you will feel a difference.
Yeah,
It's
big
paying
time.
attention to that feeling. And all of you both, along with all of your people who are helping you with all of your universities and the teachers, the mentors, you're reaching people from all around the world. Every person you reach is like another light bulb lighting up somewhere else in the world. And like you had said, that you're infinite, that heart goes out infinitely. The effect both of you are having worldwide, especially at this time, is so huge. And I myself can't thank you enough for the impact I know you are making worldwide, bringing this world into that heart space that we're all looking forward to experiencing and seeing. And we are experiencing it already. So my team wants to say something real quick. When all of us talked about the news earlier, and a lot of times we focus on what's in front of us. But if more people take the time to focus what's within them and focusing on all of the other people that are like them with that heart energy, this world changes, and it already is because of all the work you've done already. And
It's happening, right, Angela?
It's a new era.
Yes.
It's we're in a new era, and it's the rules are changed, and even the spiritual work is different. The spiritual work is not anymore about just waking up. It's about transforming, becoming who you need to be, and fulfilling your purpose in life. So it's a different path now, and it's very, very exciting. And I know there are lots of things to fear, especially if you listen to the news, but I think you can be assured there's not going to be a third world war. It's not going to happen. We're not going to go that path. It's a new time. We're in a different age. Humanity was acting like children, you know, fighting
Yes.
for toys and food and utilities and but we are maturing, and we're just not going to be fooled by that fear-mongering into thinking that we are limited and little. We know we're and the internet has helped a lot, but it's really a change in the energy of the world. It's a spiritual change that's happened. The internet's been helpful, but it's a greater change globally that lets us know that we can communicate across all space. We can feel another person at a distance, wherever they are. We're connected always.
I love that. And my team is just saying when you talked about the internet, and yes, there will be no World War III. That's not happening. It's not on the table. We've moved past fighting for the toys, as you said. I like how you put that. But it's our want to connect with each other helped to bring that internet into reality so we could use it to make that connection as we are now. So my team wants everyone to know all of you, all of your consciousnesses has brought that into reality to help us move forward and have the connections, the heartfelt connections we've been looking for. So, and this is an exciting time. I've been so excited. It's such a beautiful time to be alive, to be here to experience this growth in humanity is absolutely beautiful.
It's a jump. It's a jump.
Yeah. And it's just got to be thrilling. I mean,
Yeah.
you have started this journey, what, 40 years ago almost.
Yeah.
And to see the differences between then and now has
Yeah.
got to be just amazing.
See, what I wanted to say too, I mean, you all hear that I have an accent and I'm from a foreign country and I go every year home, so to say. But when I'm over there, home is actually here. So it's interesting when you are from a foreign country. And I tell you, my family members or friends, they call up and say, "How are you guys doing over there?" Because America, through the way how today's politics and economy works, they see America as a bad guy. It really changed America's view out in the world. And then I look around in America and how people are. People are actually very calm here in America, and they have an inner realization that actually does not match at all the vibration of the government or of the news. I think that's very, very important to see and to contribute to that energy. And I do think you find that really everywhere in the world, there is this news and this economy out there and the vibration of the warmongers, but we can do differently. And that is actually a very, very beautiful change that is happening where we are challenged to feel confident that what is out there and what the reputation is, that that is not the reality, but it's our heart and it's our deep, deep energy. And it's interesting to communicate this continuously out into the world. And so I do think that's an important message to be aware of. Yeah.
I think that's super important for people to hear because so much of what you're told on the big screen, or like you said, you're portrayed that our world is our country is portrayed as that in other countries, is to know it's there to show a different side of us than what we already are. And we are
Yes.
stepping into who we know who we are. I mean,
Yes.
honestly. Most people would help out with things. Most
Yes.
people are heart-centered, and it's focusing on those people, not the ones that are creating division, and taking your focus off the ones with the division,
Yeah.
and focusing on all of the beautiful heart-centered people out there. There are so
Yeah,
many.
yes. Everybody has a heart,
Yes.
and it's just that some people cover it with their minds.
Yes.
But it's always there. And so
Heart is
if
good
you
too.
the mind is very helpful. But if you want to connect to the depth of a person, you have to go kind of like through their mind and reach into their heart. And something that I think is exciting to understand is that it's not just one person at a time anymore. You know, it used to be that things had
Yes.
to spread a person at a time. What's happening now is that within our hearts there is one heart, and our hearts are within the one heart. It's a paradoxical way of understanding, you know, what is it that you're inside of, which is inside you, right? But that's this, there's a heart of all, the one heart we call it, which is within our hearts, and yet we are within it. And so this one heart holds all human experience, all knowledge, all experiences, everything that everybody knows and has done is gathered into this one heart, which we can each one of us draw down. We can download the one heart. And that's what we do unconsciously. That's what we think of as intuition. But we can also upload from our hearts and have an impression into the one heart. And that changes everything. So this is the work of the mystics, is to be so strong and clear in their heart experience that it makes an impression on the heart of all. And then everybody downloads that unconsciously, but they can learn to do it consciously. And humanity's changing as a whole. This is it's not a brand new discovery. It's something that's been around for maybe 100 or 200 years. This idea that, like the anthropologist, famous anthropologist lady, she said, revolution never occurs when the majority change. It happens because a few
Margaret
people,
Mead.
Margaret Mead, it happens when a few people become convinced of something, and then it just catches like wildfire. It just goes whoop. So things don't have to change a person at a time anymore. They go, this group of people makes a change, and then everybody gets it. It's that 100th monkey story you probably heard about. That, you know, when have you heard that story? The 100th monkey.
Where are you to say it again for people who don't know?
There was an experiment on an island, an isolated island where nothing lived but monkeys. And these anthropologists were trying to understand, you know, how the monkeys get along and how they learn. And they noticed that they had a habit of one monkey decided that he would take the coconut and wash it in the ocean. And that turned out to be kind of a viral idea. It went viral. And pretty soon everybody's learning it and they're all washing their food before they eat it. It was something, it was a new behavior. It was a learned behavior that one monkey taught it and the others just all caught it. Now, the amazing thing is that at another island, at a great distance from this island,
The
the monkey
monkeys.
started to wash their food. There was no contact between them physically. It went through the ether, you know, through the spirit. They learned what the other monkeys had already learned.
They uploaded
The first monkeys uploaded it, and the second monkeys downloaded it.
it.
And that's what's happening to all of humanity. We're learning things which everybody just begins to understand. Like, oh yeah, of course. You know, it goes viral. And then we all get it and we think, oh, well, I always knew that. Right.
That's the really, the one thing that's really nice with you is you like going in, getting that, not just talking about it, but seeing the data, seeing everything behind it. So you have that information behind it. It's not just talked about, but you have the information. And that's something that's so important because, like you said, it's a lot of people, they're intellectually, you're thinking about it. Other people will go, oh, yeah, I can think with my heart and it's really easy. And other people are going, you guys are crazy. But it's knowing when you have everything behind it, when you have the research behind it, that's so important. And both of you have done so much of that throughout your time. And I know I've got to get you guys out of here because I know you have something else going on, Susanna and Peron. I am so happy to have you here. Is there something you'd like to cover before we end the session?
I do think the world is currently already a wonderful place. And I think if we keep going the way we do with the work of the heart and you with your work, Angela, which we are very grateful that you invited us, I think this world will be just heaven on earth. And life for humans and for the planet and for the whole consciousness that is in this world will be just wonderful. I think all the fears of robots and of, automation and all, it's just challenges that we need to take and see as opportunities to grow as human beings. The human being is the greatest gift to the planetary consciousness. The kind of wisdom we bring to through the challenges that this existence here on planet Earth brings to us. It's a real gift, and we bring it out to the whole. So that's the blessing.
I love that. It is a blessing to be here, and it is to be human, to expand our consciousness. What an exciting time to go, what else can I learn about myself? How much more can I connect to the people around me, not only locally, but around the world? It's so important. And the work you two are doing is so important. And is there something you'd like to say before we close, Peron?
It's all about love.
Yes. It is about love.
That's all it is.
You can't get much clearer than that. And it is so clear. And you help so many people. And I encourage everybody, go to their website, iamheart.org. Check out their online meditation studio. Go to TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, their mobile app. Oh, nice job. And their mobile app, Breath and Heart. And then also their books, Living from the Heart, Energize Your Heart. The other last one, Follow Your Heart, is the other one, correct? Did I miss one in there or did I get them?
No, that's all.
And then also to check out their schools, their university, and you can find all of that right on their website. And for those of you looking to how do I meditate? How do I get there? Go to check out their mobile app, Breath and Heart, because it is so important putting our breathing, connecting into our heart. That's where the true change and transformation comes for not only yourself, but all of the people around the world. We all make such a huge impact. Tap into the beauty that's around us. Tap into the amazing people who want this heaven on earth because we are creating it. We are creating it. And with that,
Thank
I
you.
just want to let everyone know again, check out their website, iamheart.org. Go to their gift. Check that out because there is so much beautiful information there. And I feel so honored to have gotten the chance to have met both of you today. You two are just beautiful. And I am hearing from my team. They just want to say thank you for all of the hard work you have been doing as the change around the world is from people like you. And they can't think, they keep going, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Because of the impact you are making. So thank you both.
You have such a beautiful heart, Angela. Thank you so much with all your with your wonderful team.
Oh,
May
thank you.
all the UBs bless your work and keep it
I
vital.
was waiting for the UBs. I love it. So I just want to thank you both, Susanna and Peron, so much for all of your time, sharing your knowledge, sharing your hearts. And I also want to make sure to remind everyone out there to watch the next episodes of Edge Talk Radio. They're on the first and third Wednesdays of the month at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can, if you've missed any past episodes, no worries. You can watch or listen to any of the downloadable podcasts. You can go to YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and pretty much all the podcast aspects out there. Go on my YouTube channel along with Edge Magazine's YouTube channel and Check out all of the other ones and all those to come, and make sure to go back into this episode and listen to those heart-centered messages and the energy being shared with all of you. I want to thank you all for listening, expanding, and amplifying our universe together. Have an absolutely amazing day.